are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well. So say Valamnandi with a song from Zaza saying, Dipiri, what a beautiful song right there. All right, we are getting into our conversation with John Roifi. John, he's on the line. Good morning and welcome to Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing this morning, John?
I'm better than I've been always.
Oh, that's great. That's great. let's get into our conversation for today. So we are looking at mental health awareness, personality disorders. This is our theme for this was our theme for this week. And our topic for today, we are looking at understanding borderline personality disorders, BPD, understanding borderline personality disorders. Borderline personality disorders is often called one of the most stigmatized mental health diagnoses. And yet, it's almost one of the most treatable, characterized by emotional instability, fear, and abandonment, and intense relationship. BPD can feel like living life on a roller coaster, but behind the label are people in pain trying to be understood, right? And first question to you, my brother, is that what are those or what are the core symptoms of borderline personality disorder?
I think to start with, we need to understand that it affects the way people think, feel, and how they relate to others. It's often marked by intense emotions with great difficulty with self-image and, of course, in relationships. Now, a couple of the ones that stands out, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but emotional instability. Now, I want you to understand that in that the emotions can sometimes change fairly rapid from, let's say, happy to upset. So it's not that they're unstable, it's just that it changes. I suppose that boils down to the same thing, that it's not because of, as we know, the stigma. They're not crazy. They have an intense fear of abandonment. They often fear being rejected and being alone, and that's quite common with these guys. They, and by the way, that can be any relationship, any significant relationship.
Right.
Because of this, I often experience fairly unstable relationships. Their relationship can be very intense because what they do is they will idealize someone on one hand, and then it will shift to feeling angry or disappointed with that person if they feel that that person is withdrawing. They often have problems with their self-image, where it shifts from I'm feeling okay about myself to feeling lost. They can have quite impulsive behavior, partly because of that emotion shifting. And because of all of this, if you sort of put it together, they do tend to err on the side of, or let me say, self-harm is quite a known factor with them. They can experience intense anger. And then, of course, stress-related, what we call paranoia or dissociation, when there's high levels of stress, they tend to become quite suspicious and they sometimes dissociate from reality.
Yo. Hectic. Yo. And how does
it is.
It is like I'm listening to you and I'm like, yo, and how do they deal with those emotions? And how does BPD affect a person's emotions? Yes, talking of emotions, how does it affect a person's emotions, relationships, and a sense of identity?
Well, yeah, as we mentioned, the emotions are quite intense. They don't feel lightly, if I can put it in those terms. They feel very deeply. And, you know, whether it is joy, they will be very joyful. If it is sad, they will be very sad. If it is angry, they'll feel very angry. So the, one of the big things about the emotions is that it's very intense and can be overwhelming and exhausting, both for themselves and people around them, which kind of leads us into the relationships. They have a deep fear of abandonment. They can become very attached very quickly to a person. They might idealize someone and see them as perfect, and then later feel, oh no, they've betrayed me, or they've let me down in some way, or they don't like me anymore. And then obviously those emotions will change. Now, if you can imagine, being in a relationship with someone like that can have rather big effects. As I mentioned, it can be exhausting. It can be this push and pull can have quite a big effect on. And then sometimes people just, they can't take it anymore. And people often don't know that it, because of BPD, and then they think this person is just being nasty. You know, I've mentioned, but it affects their sense of identity, which keeps on shifting or shifts from one to the other. You know, today they might feel quite good and confident, and then tomorrow, again, they're very unsure of where they are and who they are and what's going on, I almost want to say. So these, you know, even with what we've mentioned about the symptoms, people underestimate how serious the borderline can be and how much pain these guys live in.
Hello?
Yeah, are you still there?
Yes, yes.
I think we lost each other there for 2 seconds.
Yes.
So, yeah. So with all of this, it has an effect on the emotional, the relationships, and the sense of identity. And if you kind of put that all together, you find a person that is not sure of themselves often all of the time. And that, I sometimes think, creates a kind of a cycle where being unsure of my emotions causes me to be unsure of who I am. And that makes me question, does the person I'm with want to be with me? So you see, it becomes a bit of a overwhelming cycle almost.
I can only imagine how they feel. Yo, it's bad. It's really bad. And why is BPD often misdiagnosed, especially in women?
You know, one of the biggest reasons is that it can overlap. It can look like depression. It can look like bipolar. It can look like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. There has been in the past, I do believe, I feel that it is getting better, where there's a slight gender bias, where women are more likely to be diagnosed with BPD, while men with similar symptoms are given different diagnoses. And part of this is the old general or gender stereotypes. You know, woman expresses strong emotion, so she's overly emotional or overly dramatic, where that's not the case with guys. I'm feeling like it's getting better. I'm hoping.
Right.
One of the big things with my own background that I see or experience often is what often happens is the trauma that people experience is often overlooked. And so instead of dealing with the trauma that the person has gone through, they're diagnosed with some or other something. Also, partly if you take the overlap and the overlooking, then I can understand how that can happen. And of course, there's the stigma around BPD itself. It has had quite a shall we say, reluctancy towards being or giving that kind of diagnosis, because what happens is it often affects the person more than anything else. So they'll sometimes be given a sort of a vague, this is sort of what's going on with you type of diagnosis, to protect them. So those are the main causes, if I can call it like that. But as I say, I want to see the biases or the stereotypes. I do see that they are fading quite a lot.
Mm. So you are saying it's better to deal with the problem before diagnosing it.
Well, if the person could have BPD, but to deal with the root cause is often a very, very good idea. So it might, if it stems from, which is often the case, if it stems from a place of trauma, which is often emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, then dealing with that will alleviate or lighten, if I can call it that, a lot of the symptoms of even the personality disorder, and will help the person to understand themselves so much better. Wow. If that's not overlooked, it goes a long way in the treatment.
And what are common misconceptions about people living with BPD?
Let me name some. Let's have a look. Let's see what we can get for you. So one of the biggest ones, I guess, people with BPD are manipulators and they are attention seeking, and that's all they're about. That's of course not true. As we've mentioned, they have very intense emotions and they have a very deep-seated fear of abandonment. So it might come across as manipulation. It sometimes comes across as even anger or aggression, but that's not the case. They really are trying to avoid rejection.
Right.
Another one which sort of goes hand in hand with this one is that they just in it for the drama. Drama queens. There's the word I'm looking for. We hear this a lot. Again, not the case. They do have these emotions, but they are intense and they really are experiencing them. Another one, which relates to what we've kind of discussed already, is that they're incapable of having healthy emotions. Again, this is not true. When with effective treatment and with people with BPD understanding themselves, they are very capable of love and empathy and very deep connections. They have the self-awareness and the tools to deal with it. Their relationship can be as, and I say this in very big inverted commas, normal as anyone else, because I'm not a big fan of the normal word, but we do use it. So anyway, another one, only women get it. Of course, that's rubbish. Yeah, I'm glad you're laughing as well, because it's a ridiculous one. Absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't discriminate between genders. It can't be treated. Absolutely nonsense. Absolute rubbish. Can be treated very effectively. And then the old one, or the one that I think we touched on it on Monday, if I remember, these guys are dangerous. They're dangerous. The knives and forks. And things like that, that's of course not the case. I want to reiterate, they are more likely to harm themselves.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that are they not dangerous to themselves?
They, without treatment, without that understanding that I mentioned just now.
Right.
They and you know what? Yes, it becomes dangerous, I get that. But it's not that they don't want to, if I can say, commit suicide.
Okay.
They want to, because of these intense emotions, they're actually trying to relieve the pain of the emotions.
Sure.
by feeling a physical pain. If we talk, for example, about cutting, you know, the cliche of cutting. So it's not that they're trying to be dangerous. They're not trying to be strange. It's got a function. Unfortunately, it doesn't fix the problem. So they will physically hurt themselves rather than anyone else. And yes, that can become dangerous. But again, with treatment, none of this is actually an issue or should be an issue. It can be treated to the point where they're living very beautiful lives.
Wow. Powerful one, my brother. Thank you so much. Last question before I let you go. So what treatment options such as DBT, dialectical behavior therapy have shown effectiveness? What treatment option?
Well, I'm going to just mention three. So CBT or cognitive behavior therapy.
Okay, yes.
Which is very useful in addressing mood swings, addressing anxiety, and dealing with the self-esteem issue. That works very well for that. And then you called it dialectical behavior therapy. It is part and parcel or a form of, although it's been separated from CBT, it teaches the skills to manage these intense emotions. It gives the guys the tools to not only react on their emotions, but to process them. It improves relationships because of that. It helps them with communication skills, and it reduces that self-harming behavior that we talked about just now. What it does, in a nutshell, if you like, it helps people to stay more grounded and more in the present moment, and to, can I say, without getting too technical, to reason out rather than just go down the rabbit hole of the emotions. So DBT, don't know, just an interesting fact, it was developed specifically for bipolar personality, for borderline personality disorder. Sorry about that. For BPD. And it's actually yielding very, very, very good results. It is being used often. And then there are others, but I'm just going to close off with, there are medications that help with some of the symptomology of it. For the anxiety, we do have meds that work very well for that.
Right.
For the mood swings, there are medications that work well for that. And then, of course, there's group behavior. And then, as we all know, there's one-to-one sessions with a therapist that who is actually well trained in DBT. That goes a long way. And a part of all of this, there's also psychoeducation, which helps the guys understand why and what's going on and how to deal with it and so on. So there's quite a lot out there. I always say to people, you know, one of the biggest treatments necessary is the willingness.
Yes.
And, you know, because of the stigma related to this, a lot of the guys shy away from it. So, yeah, again, I guess I'm beating a dead horse, but I want to mention it again. We need to get rid of the stigma so that people are not shy and embarrassed to go for these various therapies, and that they can have happy, full lives.
Thank you so much for your time, Brother Juan. I love the last phrase that you said. If I'm not mistaken, on Monday, you mentioned that if we were able to treat people with HIV and AIDS, removed all the stigmas around it, what's stopping us from doing the same for these diseases, such as the BPD?
Exactly. That is so true. I can't wrap my mind around it, but we're chipping away at it, and I'm hoping that we'll get there soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks, and you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.